London Calling. London Walks Connecting. This is London. This is London Walks. Streets ahead. Story time. History time. Good morning, London. It's April 13th, 2024. Some words of wisdom from the Prophet Muhammad. He said, "Don't tell me how educated you are. Tell me how much you have traveled." It's a good fit with today's pin, the news story that bounces us off the diving board into this episode of London Calling. I'm thinking about the death, earlier this week, of O.J. Simpson, the American football player who was tried and found not guilty of the murders of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ronald Goldman. That was 30 years ago. It was, of course, a celebrity trial. There was all kinds of ruckus about it. And for me, it provided a piercing moment of insight, an epiphany, really. That was back in my main career as a television journalist. I was the overnight editor. I'd go into the newsroom at 11 p.m. There'd be the handover from the late editor, and then I wouldn't see anybody until the editor of the day rolled in at 7 the following morning. Not quite true. I'd see the cleaning ladies who pitched up at about 5 a.m. every morning to give the newsroom a smartening up. Anyway, the epiphany. One morning, toward the end of my overnight shift, I was getting on with my copy tasting for the editor of the day. The cleaning ladies came in and were doing their thing. I was only vaguely aware of them. And then I suddenly realized they were all talking about O.J. Simpson, an American football player. They didn't know the first thing about American football. It didn't have anything like the footprint here it has today. But they knew about O.J. Simpson. It was a revelation to me. I realized just how powerful, how dominant American culture is. The cleaning staff were a mixture of white Cockney and West Indian and Eastern European, had never seen an American football game, had zero interest in it. But they knew about O.J. Simpson. The trial, all the hoopla, it had washed up on the shores of their consciousness. And I fully got the measure of that by thinking, imagine if the English football star, Ian Wright, had been accused of murdering his wife. That would, of course, have got a tremendous amount of play in the media in this country. Would have been on everybody's mind. Talked about the length and breadth of the UK. But it would have got next to no play, if any at all, in the United States. Soccer, as Americans called it, wasn't their game. 280 million Americans, or whatever the population was at the time, didn't have a clue about the big English sides, Arsenal and Spurs and Man U and Liverpool, let alone have even the foggiest about one of the name players, in this case, Ian Wright. In terms of cultural impact and reach, it was a rowing boat up against a battleship. To put it very basically, we here in the UK know about them, know quite a bit about them, know their films and their politics and their celebrities, but put the shoe on the other foot, they're quite spectacularly in the dark about the goings-on here. We're just not on their radar. They're all over our radar. Size is surely a factor. It's the difference between a continent and a small country. Here we're a 2-hour train ride away from Paris. In Decorah, Iowa, you're a 2.5-hour drive from Iowa City. And speaking of that cultural juggernaut on the other side of the Atlantic, our random for the day, something that's a never-ending source of puzzlement for us here, 4 in 5 homicides in the United States are gun-related, as opposed to 1 in 25 in the United Kingdom. In the UK in 2020, the murder rate was 1 person for every 100,000 people. In the United States, it was 7 for every 100,000 people. Double would be bad enough. Seven times as many is jaw-dropping. And that takes us back to what Muhammad said. When you travel, you don't just learn about the country you're visiting. You also learn about the place you've come from. Okay, ongoing. London. First off, I've got another bit of London Walk's program news. Talked yesterday about Stuart Purvis's Hampstead Spies Walk, regularly selling out. Adam's Rock and Roll London Explorer Day to Barnes, Twickenham, and Richmond is fast heading into those same waters. He's running that one four times this summer, on May 24th, June 21st, July 19th, and September 20th. And as of 2 hours ago, there were just 9 tickets left for the entire run. So yes, this is another heads up. If you fancy going on that one, grab one of those remaining tickets while you can. 9 left. That's well and truly countdown territory. And I'm counting down to 3.5 hours from now, doing one of my favorite walks this afternoon, Kensington. Here's a taster, a preview of where we'll be going and some of the extraordinary things we'll see. And no, I'm not making any of this up. We'll make a quick stop in Yorkshire, where we'll see a sheep being sheared. Then it's off to the Yukon, to a bear hunt. We'll be high above Manhattan, on a steel girder. We'll hang with a couple of Nubian women in Egypt, who are busy picking cotton. We'll see the ground crew spinning the propeller of a 90-year-old airplane. We'll see the most glamorous 1930s woman of them all. We'll grimace at a deer, poor thing, who's got an arrow sticking out of his haunch. The slain bear in the Yukon, the deer with that arrow, I'm telling you now, there's a great deal of violence right there, on the second most important shopping street in London, and my walkers will be the only people who will see it, hidden in plain sight. And that's just 5 minutes on that walk. Imagine a handheld fan, and I open it just a little bit so you can see what's between two of the ribs. And the thing is, the Kensington fan has many ribs. And that fan, all of it, all of those ribs, get opened out on that walk. The bear, the Nubian women, the 1930s airplane, etc. All of those things are there for anybody to see who's there, who's moving through Kensington. The people brushing by us will not see them, though, because they don't know where to position themselves, don't know where to direct their gaze, don't know what they're looking for. But what really sets the seal on it is the stuff I bring to the party, the old maps and photographs my research has unearthed, and that I produce, yes, multiple copies, on that walk. The madding crowd could, I suppose, one or two of them, get lucky and look up, oh, look at that, what is that? Is that a sheep? But they absolutely are not going to see the 1865 photograph or the 1754 map that I produce. Yes, a little bit like a magician, which, when you get right down to it, is why we go on quality walking tours. You've been listening to This is London, the London Walks podcast, emanating from walks.com, home of London Walks, London's signature walking tour company, London's local, time-honored, fiercely independent, family-owned, just the right size walking tour company. And as long as we're at it, London's multi-award-winning walking tour company. Indeed, London's only award-winning walking tour company. And here's the secret. London Walks is essentially run as a guides cooperative. That's the key to everything. It's the reason we're able to attract and keep the best guides in London. You can get Schlubbers to do this for £20 a walk, but you cannot get world-class guides, let alone accomplished professionals. It's not rocket science. You get what you pay for. And just as surely, You also get what you don't pay for. Back in 1968, when we got started, we quickly came to a fork in the road. We had to answer a searching question. Do we want to make the most money, or do we want to be the best walking tour company in the world? You want to make the most money, you go the Schlubber's route. You want to be the best walking tour company on the planet, you do whatever you have to do to attract and keep the best guides in London. You want them guiding for you, not for somebody else. Bears repeating, the way we're structured, a guides cooperative, is the key to the whole thing. It's the reason for all those awards. It's the reason people who know go with London Walks. It's the reason we've got a big following, a lively, loyal, discerning following. Quality attracts quality. It's the reason we're able, uniquely, to front our walks with accomplished, in many cases, distinguished professionals. By way of example, Stuart Purvis, the former editor and subsequently CEO of Independent Television News, and Lisa Honan, who had a distinguished career as a diplomat. Lisa was the governor of St. Helena, the island where Napoleon breathed his last, and, some say, had his penis amputated. Napoleon didn't feel a thing, if things the mot juste. He was dead. Stuart and Lisa, both of them CBEs, are just a couple of our headline acts. Or take our Ripper Walk. It's the creation of the world's leading expert on Jack the Ripper, Donald Rumbelow, the author of the definitive book on the subject. Britain's most distinguished crime historian, Donald is, in the words of the Jack the Ripper A to Z, internationally recognized as the leading authority on Jack the Ripper. Donald's emeritus now, but he's still the guiding light on our Ripper Walk. He curates the walk. He trains up and mentors our Ripper Walk guides. Fields any and all questions they throw at him. The London Walk's aristocracy of talent, its all-star team of guides, includes a former London mayor. It includes the former chief music critic for the Evening Standard. It includes the chair of the Association of Professional Tour Guides and the former chair of the Guild of Guides. It includes barristers, doctors, geologists, museum curators, a former Museum of London archaeologist, historians, university professors, one of them a distinguished Cambridge University paleontologist. It includes criminal defense lawyers, Royal Shakespeare Company and National Theatre actors, a bevy of MVPs, Oscar winners, people who've won the big one, the Guide of the Year Award. Well, you get the idea. As that travel writer famously put it, if this were a golf tournament, every name on the leaderboard would be a London Walks guide. And as we put it, London Walks guides make the new familiar, and the familiar new. And on that agreeable note, come then, let us go forward together on some great London walks. And that's by way of saying, good walking and good Londoning, one and all. See you next time.